Hello and welcome to episode number 39 of the Crossing Borders Wrestling Podcast, back 1 week after doing the previous show, so good job to us. We have a packed week of professional wrestling to talk about. I'm just kidding, there's only one thing that happened, and that was the Final Deletion, Matt Hardy's latest masterpiece, and we're going to talk all about it.
I think you mean Matsterpiece.
Matsterpiece, yes, the Matsterpiece. We're going to talk about Raw, the continuing bizarre saga of one Roman Reigns. Kath had some thoughts on Make Darren Great Again. What in the fuck is even going on with that? We have thoughts on Lucha Underground. What are they going to do with the women during this here brand split? And we're going to finish off, as always, with your questions. And I guess everybody just heard, but we have Sunsweet, our good friend Sunsweet, back on the line with us again. And Sun, thanks a lot for coming.
I will never be deleted.
And for doing the show.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
You
are truly our senior Benjamin.
I will prepare the garden at once.
Are you willing to be tased for one or both of us?
How much am I getting paid?
Well, you're being able to live out your life, your greatest desires as a gardener.
For one of you, but I won't tell you which.
Oh, so we will have to figure out who the Matt is and who the Brother Nero is.
Yes.
And
Brother Flurry!
I guess that makes you Matt. So, Matherin, how are you? How are you today?
I am pretty good.
Another busy day at the office and or on the road?
Yep.
You still big into drugs?
No.
No? You don't take them?
No.
No? Clean?
Yeah.
Well, good, because you need to... Everyone needs to experience this masterpiece, this masterpiece, completely sober, because there were a lot of subtleties to this, a lot of, narrative tricks, foreshadowing and such that really, I think, benefits
anybody...
It's
a dilapidated boat!
Really benefits anybody who pays close attention. So let's talk about what in the fuck we're talking about. We haven't talked about Total Nonstop Action Impact Wrestling in quite a long time on this show. Anytime we do, it's very brief and it's very mocking. The last time we probably talked about it was the last Matt Hardy segment, Broken Matt Hardy, and there was another one here, called The Final Deletion, a name that is a little weird because it calls to mind what? The Final Solution? That's a little bit weird, I think. But beyond that, this was a bonkers segment. It was unbelievably enjoyable to watch. I am not the kind of person who's going to say, this is what pro wrestling should be, because no, this is not exactly what pro wrestling should always be, but this is what some pro wrestling can be. And I enjoyed it. Kath, what did you think of this overall?
It's freaking incredibly funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Son, what did you think?
I absolutely loved it.
It was just remarkable. It was like Lucha Underground, but good.
Oh!
No, it was really funny. I don't think I've ever enjoyed Matt Hardy that much in his entire career.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, from the dipshit that was, eating grapes in front of a camera and taking baseball slides to the gut right after he had fucking surgery on his abdomen, his fucking hernia. Mm-hmm. The guy who did a leg drop off of a cave and, tore his ass. I mean, this guy... This fellow here, 40 years old or whatever he is, with a wild streak of blonde in his hair and the worst affectation to his voice, whatever this accent he's doing, there's no word. It's self-aware now, but it's still great, and that is the rarest of accomplishments.
It's like he's doing a different accent every scene.
Every sentence.
He's just constantly changing his accent to something.
Yeah. I don't think the Hardys have it within them to be self-aware.
I mean, a lot of... Here's the thing. I don't think they have it within them to be totally self-aware. I think they have it within them to be self-aware and to also be wrong about some of that self-awareness, to presume things other than what actually is. And I think that's absolutely to the strength, because I was talking to Sunsweet off-air before you were done watching, and one of the things, you know what they say about comedy and about any sort of media, when you're in on the joke, you can't manufacture camp. camp can't be done in anything other than in earnest, you know, accidentally, basically. It has to be found, not contrived. Mm-hmm. And this thing was done in mind, obviously, in some places, to be campy, but it also was legitimately funny. The dilapidated boat line is hilarious on its own merits. But also, this was campy in ways they didn't anticipate, because, like you said, they don't really have it within them to be self-aware, at least not all the way. And that's to their strength. I mean, so much of this is deliberate, but there is still a bit of it and a feeling that much of it is not.
Yeah, you know they're trying to do to make art.
Yeah, and look at the way they framed it and everything, narrative framing. You know, it starts off with, okay, the gasoline. That's purposeful foreshadowing. You know,
yeah.
The whole, this is all I have left, go spread this along the battlefield or whatever. And the candle and the flashback at the end. I mean, they were really trying, and they accomplished something. But anyway, let's talk about this top to bottom. Kath, it's most fresh in your mind. You just watched it. Go ahead and start us off here.
I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, they were definitely going for high concept in some ways. They were really, they had a story they wanted to tell. And I think they told it.
They absolutely did.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just amazing to me that they still went through all the motions of selling and playing to a crowd that wasn't there.
Well, Senor Benjamin, they wanted to impress him.
I don't know if it's pure habit with them, like, to look up and go, ah, before jumping.
It must be at this point.
Yeah.
20 years of it or whatever. 16 at least.
So, a good chunk of their lives has been spent doing that. But, like you said, they had narrative elements to it. The only thing they didn't do was, like, wait for it to rain or something.
I'm surprised they managed to get it filmed on a dry day. It's been nothing but rain this summer.
Oh, please, I could use it here. But yeah, like, they didn't wait for the pathetic fallacy of, you know, the rainstorm, or going out and shooting footage of a rainstorm or something.
I did really enjoy, though, the Christ metaphor that permeated this and culminated at the end. Because if there's anybody Christ-like in pro wrestling and in the world, it's Matt Hardy.
Absolutely.
Isn't everything a Christ metaphor these days?
I mean, in a way.
I'm a Christ metaphor.
I know it. So is your creepy Donatello toy.
It's not creepy!
But yeah, they were really trying to go for high concept, and they were shooting fireworks at each other.
Yeah, well, that's why I kind of disagree here. They were going for legitimate, but also campy, and somehow they achieved both. You don't feel real much gravitas coming off of this, but I felt a little something when Matt was burned in his own fire and rose from the ashes, broken no more. I mean, you know, he lit the ground and himself on fire, you know, with his child's one-year birthday candle, and it ignited the Hardy symbol like a cross, which, you know, to be happening in the Carolinas, you know. No, but it was, and then finally triumphing over his brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was. I had a little bit of a hitch of emotion there.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, through the whole storyline, you just get the sense that Matt wants to just destroy Jeff, and he has a goal in mind, and Jeff's just like, fine, I guess I'll kick your ass. I haven't been watching Impact to see if it's, like, more one-sided than that, but Jeff didn't seem to be as keen on destroying Matt as Matt was Jeff.
And that was perhaps Brother Nero's downfall.
Yeah.
So it starts off, the things that we have to call attention to.
It's a dilapidated boat!
Yeah. Like, the legitimately great, like, on their own merits, in any context, great things here, was one, Matt Hardy gleefully mowing the Hardy symbol that Jeff Hardy painstakingly mowed into his lawn.
Excuse me, Lawnscaped.
Lawnscaped. Pretty much everything with Senor Benjamin.
He was great.
He was great.
I hope he becomes Broken Matt Hardy's manager.
This is not confirmed, but people are saying that that's Rebby's father. So, if that's true, then just we need more dads in wrestling. Because, Al Wilson before him.
You know what? Dads in wrestling should be its own topic. Like, how many times John Cena's dad was punted by Randy Orton?
All right, I'll make that a later topic. Great dads in wrestling.
No, we need to save that for, like, next Father's Day.
I won't remember.
It's too far away. Man, Flurry might be dead by then.
Hey.
Sister Sun Sweet.
Okay, so shooting Roman candles at each other, that's hilarious. The dilapidated boat, absolutely hilarious. Senor Benjamin out of nowhere with a goddamn taser. Tasing, yep. Let's not go there yet. Willow coming out of the water and shrieking and choking Matt Hardy.
That was pretty amazing.
Like, think of the logistics of this, right? Willow pops out of the water. Jeff had just gone under. Willow pops out. Willow is either someone else, or Jeff has unbelievable abilities of transformation. Like, he can change in under 15 seconds flat.
Yeah.
He pops out. He gets tased by Senor Benjamin, the gardener who prepared the area for massacre. And then Matt Hardy pins Willow, gets the three count, takes the mask off. It's Senor Benjamin. That is legitimately great on its own merits. Completely wacky, but completely great.
Completely acceptable in the context of pro wrestling.
Yep. And then we already mentioned the ending with the whole metaphor, phoenix rising from the ashes, if you will, the burning cross. Jeff hoisted by his own petard, practically, by trying to go for yet another senton, falling
off
the dirt. High-risk
move, yeah.
And being pinned.
They always call it high risk, and in this case, like, Matt knew, like, it's Jeff's go-to move. It's what he's going to do when he wants to finish things.
Yep. Oh, two other things I should call out that were great relating to...
It's a dilapidated boat!
Actually, three more things. All of these involve drones, by the way. First off, the drone rang the doorbell.
Somehow.
The drone rang the fucking doorbell. Jeff Hardy destroying multiple drones, which probably cost a lot of money. He was whacking the fuck out of them. That's hilarious. Okay, four things. The hologram of Matt coming out of five things. Coming out of Vanguard 1. Six things. Vanguard being misspelled. The chase where he's reaching after the drone that's running away. And then Matt laughing at him. And also, we must call attention to, in the drone view, listing out Brother Nero's height and weight, they copied over verbatim Jeff Hardy's height and weight from Wikipedia and did not take out the footnote, the reference, the little two in brackets.
The citation.
The citation.
Flub.
It's like there still was an amateurness to this, you know? It still was a bunch of, like, a lot of footage on drones, which is still kind of new and novel, and automatic focusing cameras and everything, and a lot of shot, you know, extraneous, needless, like, zoom in even further, zoom out, shake! There was so much to this that could be dissected and enjoyed, and it really was one of those things that was greater than the sum of its parts. It's something I love seeing in wrestling and have missed. You know, as much as the Lucha Underground segments don't always do it for me, this one did. And I don't know what it was about it, because it wasn't tremendously different. Maybe because it exists on a program that, you know, A, I don't care about, and B, doesn't typically have much wackiness. You know, not on this level. Maybe it's just the strength of Matt's performance. I don't know. Matt's performance isn't really all that good. It's, like, really wacky. I don't know. I love the goddamn thing. What's there to say? What's there to say?
Benjamin, the senior Benjamin has a Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, good for him.
Benjamin Senior.
He has a shirt for sale.
That was fast.
You know what? Say what you will, the Hardys were very good at branding. Like,
oh yeah.
Pardon the pun. They were all, like, they always had that bit of a mind for marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Something else there is to say is that the ratings for Impact were apparently up by 25%.
Last week they did like a little over 300,000. This week a little over 400,000.
Yeah, that's not bad. The
proven
final
draw.
Deletion. Yeah, Matt Hardy, the final deletion man, real draw.
Keep in mind, back in the doldrum days of late ECW, and that being the WWE version of late ECW, Matt Hardy was a legitimate draw. When he won the title, ratings went way up, you know, for ECW. And here again, Matt Hardy, MVP of wrestling. Should he be Fez Flair this year in the WON? I would say so. Should he be a most outstanding wrestler? I mean, based on his performance hiding underneath the dilapidated boat, I would say so.
WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, presumptive. He'll be there.
WCW Hall of Fame, ECW Hall of Fame.
Cauliflower Club.
Yes.
I mean, legitimately, he should be in the ECW Hall of Fame. He was one of their last champions and their best ratings draw maybe ever.
Probably even going back to when they were on TNN, a different company entirely, yes.
Oh, God. All right, the final deletion. Go out of your way to watch it, folks, if you haven't yet. I don't care if you're sick of hearing about it, because I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm going to talk about this shit every week. I'll forget
it's
about it tomorrow.
Incredible.
Just watch it every week right before the show, and then just like, have you guys seen this thing? It's called The Final Deletion.
No, there's a podcast, a different one, where they watched Grown Ups 2. I believe it was every week or every day for a year.
Someone else was just telling me about this.
That's insane.
Yes.
That's actually insane. That. Whether it's 52 times or 365, it doesn't matter. That's insane. 12.
You two guys were doomed to watch Grown Ups 2 for eternity. Oh.
That's fucking wild.
For 4-7, okay, they talk about their experience on the podcast, appropriately titled The Worst Idea of All Time. Which, they're not wrong.
Once a week.
Yes. When was their last episode? I must listen to it right now while I'm on this call.
Moved on to Sex and the City 2.
Oh, no! That's much worse.
Yeah.
All right, Sunsweet, before we move on.
Yeah?
Tell everyone why you like Overwatch so much.
It's very fun, and I've only been the target of racist slurs once.
Yeah? Did you deserve them?
No!
Oh, okay.
No, that's a stupid way to put it. No, it's a very fun, enjoyable game to play with friends. I'm not really a first-person shooter sort of person, but this really clicks with me. And the porn is stupendous.
There's a lot of it.
Yes, I was just flooding my own Discord channel with it. So
high marks in both the game aspect, the casual shooter, you know, or I should say shooter non-fan aspect, and, most importantly, porn.
Yes, competitive mode is a bunch of bullshit, by the way.
Usually is.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's, people are nice in there, but it's still, really unfun.
Yeah.
It goes on way too long, and you get people screaming about team comps.
Team composite. You won in competitive with, I remember reading, I think it was one Lucio and the rest were all junk rats.
Yes, that was the only match I've won so far in my qualifying.
Good.
I don't remember if I was Lucio or if I was one of the junk rats, but we won.
That's all that matters.
I am 1-6 on my qualifying matches for the season. Maybe I'm just bad at the game. I totally am. But I still have fun playing it.
All right, Kath, do you have any thoughts on Raw? Or do you just want to talk about other shit? Like, you probably don't care. Do you just want to talk about the whole weird Roman Reigns situation?
Do you want to talk about Overwatch?
I don't know anything about Overwatch.
What about the Overwatch porn? Do you check it out?
No, I haven't been to Sunsweet's Discord.
You don't have to go on Sunsweet's Discord. You can get porn anywhere. Calf.
I trust Sunsweet's taste in porn.
So. You really shouldn't.
Why not? Tell us why.
Go in there and look, pal. You're a member of the server.
I just post pregnant Sonic pics.
Yeah, you posted a muscle Sonic pic, and then you left, and I've not seen you in there since.
Is you were perhaps Manfuri was expressing his true form?
I like to give little treats.
Well, now it's...
Like a bird crapping on your shoulder.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it kind of got washed away under a flood of pictures of May, and now Natalia.
Natalia Neidhart?
Yes.
Is she in
Overwatch?
It's
not just for Overwatch porn, thank you. Natty in her sexy bondage costumes. Sometimes we look at the human women's.
The human females.
So, wrestling.
Wrestling. Tell us a little bit about Raw?
Yeah.
No.
Same old shit.
Okay. What are they doing with Roman?
They're still chatting about him.
They're still doing the weird bullshit about the whole he's a fuckboy. He cheated.
Somewhat. They're just constantly talking about him. Constantly.
Huh.
Yeah. And
would you like to address the best part of Raw on Monday?
Go ahead.
The food fight.
That was pretty amazing.
That was a pretty good food fight.
Yeah. Including Fandango just squirting himself with whipped cream for no reason.
Okay, that's funny.
Because it's sexy.
That's actually really funny.
I really felt for you at the end of that food fight, Kath.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Because Heath Slater took a table bump in a food fight.
No, good for him.
Yeah. Oh, Big Show and Kane.
They kiss?
Yeah.
They finally kissed?
Yeah, you missed
between it. Between a can of whipped cream.
Oh. Yeah.
They were both going for the whipped cream as it was spurting into the air from somewhere off camera.
Are you sure it was whipped cream?
I mean, Fandango was there, after all.
True.
Dirty Curdy.
He could have lactated.
You're a sick son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah, I mean, like, this was a Raw where it was really in neutral, and they... It's the 4th of July, so I think they kind of knew ratings would be in the toilet regardless.
Yeah.
So, they didn't try very hard. The matches were fine, as usual. And that's about it. There really wasn't too much to say. Ambrose was... Ambrose was like hour one. End of hour one.
Was that all he did?
He fought Miz in a champ versus champ.
Oh! And they probably did not hype it.
They had actually built to it on the SmackDown.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Miz laid out Ambrose when he was on the Ambrose Asylum. Mm-hmm. So, that's about it.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's your beef with Make Darren Great Again?
It's other horrible.
Other than it's just horrible.
Now, what could possibly be horrible about it? He was gifted the Crossface Chicken Wing this week.
It's gone on for so long. Like, okay... Here's the thing, if they were going for an election thing, they started way too early. You know when the election is going to be, so why drag it out for what feels like 800 years?
That's a good question.
That could also be a question posed at CNN at that point. Election...
Hot take.
Election coverage is kind of a year-long thing, is the problem anymore, so...
It brings the ratings. But specifically, what's so bad about this, Kath? About this Make Darren Great Again thing? Does he have no chemistry with Backlund? Is Backlund overshadowing
him? Well, they can't have chemistry because they don't seem to be in the same room at the same time.
Interesting.
Darren's on a blue screen and what? Backlund is on a red.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they're just these pre-taped side-by-side vignettes. And that's the thing with vignettes, I like them. I think they're great. They can actually help the audience get a hold of a new gimmick.
Yeah, they're valuable.
Yeah. But when they go on for too long, then it just becomes meaningless.
Yeah.
And it's pointless.
It also helps if both stars are in the same state. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, you're absolutely right. and it's just been dragging and leading to nothing.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he could have, at this point, and I hate these storylines, a losing streak would have been better for Darren.
Because I can't imagine that.
Well, he wasn't on TV at all.
Yep.
So, okay, get a losing streak going. Have him get frustrated. Have Backlund come out and yell at him. Okay, this is where we're going with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could compare it to the DDP and Christian.
Yeah, that was actually good.
Where Christian was losing, had a losing streak gimmick, but they showed that it was because he kept losing his temper, mm-hmm. or he kept throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah.
And DDP helped him be positive, and then Christian eventually just cheated to beat him.
God, okay. That's such a good angle.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And DDP was like, dude, you got me! And he was fine with it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Positively Paige.
So, yeah, just the absolutely awful. It's been going on for too long. They've kind of sucked any heat out of it. They didn't give people context. And if you had given him a losing streak gimmick where, okay, people get, okay, this dude needs some help, as opposed to, this guy hasn't been on TV for 8 months. What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, I mean, plus, I mean, there's no way around this. It's just a shitty little fucking,
It's entirely
a pop culture reference. It's the entire gimmick.
Yeah, well, pop culture and wrestling, I mean, they go hand in hand.
When done right.
Remember the Trump versus Rosie O'Donnell match?
Oh, yeah, she wanted to eat Fudgy the whale, I think it was.
Topical.
Ooh.
Yeah. You broke Sunsweet.
I want to die.
Yeah, but, okay, we fixed her.
So a paint by numbers Raw.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait, hold on.
That was
even
good.
Even less, just because it was the 4th of July, so bunch of America Hooray segments, and very low effort Raw. Just because they knew the ratings would be in the toilet.
Son, you were saying?
There was one thing that made me, like, my heart burst into song. It was the main event, which was America versus the World. The World team featuring some Americans, of course, and the American team featuring Kane, who's from Spain, or hell, depending on if you want to believe kayfabe or not. Kane's in Spain. Jack Swagger was in the ring, and then Cesaro was in the ring. And Swagger extended his hand to
Cesaro.
Swagger extended his hand to Cesaro. Cesaro refused. Ugh. They did the people salute to one another.
Oh my.
Continuity.
And then they charged each other, and it was and they had a good little bit of wrestling, and I died of happiness. I was crying and screaming.
That is fantastic.
I wasn't actually, but it was just such a nice little reference.
Yeah, you should.
Did you get a glimpse of Jack Swagger's wallet chain?
I got a glimpse of his old gear and his hair looking not like shit anymore, and he shaved. He looks good now.
Yeah. It's amazing because Backlund would probably be a way better fit for Swagger.
Yes, because they're both, like, all-American whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus Swagger is not as big, you know,
Darren
has a much better personality.
Darren doesn't need a manager.
Yeah, Darren's very bombastic, and Jack Swagger would benefit from a crazy guy who he stands stoically next to.
Yeah, it did.
I think that's the other issue, is Darren and Backlund, as a result of being not in the same room, have no chemistry. You can't see if they play well off each other.
Yeah, why are the segments just them talking? Why can't we have Backlund ordering him in person to run up and down 18 flights of steps or something?
Yeah.
Name all the presidents in order.
Name all the presidents in order while I'm standing in the room screaming at you because I'm Bob Backlund, but you handed me a script, by the way?
Yeah,
you scripted the segments, which is just stupid.
Get literally anyone else other than Bob Backlund if you want to not have Bob, you know, if you want Bob Backlund to do anything other than scream and be insane.
Yeah.
Why would you want anything else?
Right.
From
Why
Bob
would
Backlund?
You bring him in?
What is the point? You could have had Zeb Coulter.
Yeah.
Just have him be Dutch Mantel again. Who cares? Let him cut his beard or something. Yeah. whatever. This company's run by brain dead idiots.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Call me, Vince. I'll fix your company.
Except you actually will. By having Jack Swagger fuck various people in the middle of the ring.
Just have sex with Cesaro to finish off that feud.
He will finish inside Cesaro.
That's why you're such a bottom. Let's not go there, though.
Allow me to find several pieces of fan fiction to corroborate your statement.
All right, look, I only have a few fanfics on my hard drive for this one, okay?
Just a few?
Just a few.
All right, we'll post these along with the...
No, we won't.
Along with the show.
Absolutely not.
Come on, Sunsweet.
Get your own.
Don't eat your phone.
Don't eat your phone, fucker.
Hey, great dads in wrestling. Let's talk about some dads in wrestling. We're flying by the seat of our pants here, so let's do our best. Who are some great dads you remember in this here sport of kings? I mean, for one, Al Wilson.
Ms. Dad. Mrs. Dad.
Oh, God. Mrs. Dad.
Mrs. Dad, who hoists him even on Twitter. I love Mrs. Dad.
He shows up, like, once a year and says some very funny stuff and then disappears into the ether.
It's brilliant. That's all you need.
Well, John Cena's dad gets kudos for consenting repeatedly to getting kicked in the head by Randy Orton.
He also got his receipt, though.
That's true.
He got his receipt. He got to kick Randy Orton in the fucking head.
And
that's
why
that's why Randy's out to this day. Too damaging.
The power of John Cena's father.
John Cena Sr.
Yeah.
From the Ice Age.
The Ice Age!
And he lives in a dilapidated boat!
Placed in a dilapidated boat.
This is definitely letter not spirit, but we have to remember Matt Hardy. He's a wrestling dad. He is a dad to a small son.
Oh, well, at that point, let's just talk
Gilbert
about Kevin
Hardy,
Owens.
Then. Yeah, I mean, that throws the doors wide open. Kevin
Owens.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going there, but I just wanted to mention that fucking final deletion again. It's so good.
I just love Kevin Owens as, like, the guy's gimmick is, I want to provide for my family, and he's such a bastard about it. It's brilliant.
I want to provide for my family, and I don't give a fuck about anyone else or anything else that is not my family.
And it's terrific, because he's, again, a heel who, a lot of times you can say the heel has perfectly valid points. And he does, but he goes about it in such a way that you're like, this guy's a bastard. And it's great.
It is.
He's perfect.
Yeah. Never change Kevin Owens.
He's so good at everything he does, especially Twitter.
Yes.
That's the damn truth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty. Where were we?
So we're coming up on the brand split soon.
Well, what other dads? Come on, what other dads were there? There has to be some good dads.
What do you think about Dusty Rhodes? The late Dusty Rhodes.
He was a dad.
He was a dad. Also a dad, Ted DiBiase.
Also a dad, Chris Benoit.
No, let's not talk about Chris Benoit.
He was a dad, he's just not
anymore.
He
was a dad, but doesn't mean... I wonder why that is, Man Flurry.
You tell me.
And if you say one word about Kevin Sullivan, I'm going to break your legs. I know where you live.
No, you don't. Oh, you do. Yeah, you know exactly where I live.
Yeah, I sent you that scarf.
You did? A scarf and a little mini scarf.
Yeah, that's right. I sent it for your Laguna doll.
Exactly.
How is Laguna?
She lives in my toilet.
Still.
She won't come out!
Why did you put her in there?
She's hibernating. Until she metamorphosizes into something far greater.
I don't think you know how dolls work.
Yeah. God, I'm
the doll
master.
Or he knows exactly how they work.
Thank you, Kath.
Better than the rest of us.
I wish I could think of some more dads right now, but yeah, I'd say Dad Hall of Fame as far as, you know, non-wrestling wrestler dads. His dad, definitely. Al Wilson, definitely.
Why do you love Al Wilson so much? He was very, very bad at acting.
Because that was Tori's actual dad.
It was her actual dad, and that's why he was very bad at it.
And that's what makes it so funny.
Yes, Tori's real dad Dad, I'm doing a wrestling thing. They want you specifically. They won't hire an actor.
Yeah. They want you to, make out with Dawn Marie in front of me and, get an erection. And I mean, Vince loves that shit, come to think of it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he kind of does. And then he also loves firing Dawn Marie for getting pregnant.
Yes, he did do that.
Yep.
Not for nothing.
Good job, Vince.
I was very fond of Dawn Marie, and I was not pleased with that.
They didn't fire Rosa, though.
Well, that's good. Did Rosa get pregnant?
Yeah.
Does Rosa still work there?
Yeah, she still works there, and she got Prego.
And I think she's had the baby a while ago.
We'll have to check. We'll check.
Well, maybe they'll bring her back for the brand split, because they're apparently bringing back everyone they've ever had.
Oh, maybe they'll bring back Candice Michelle.
Isn't she busy denying, or I should, not denying, but promoting the link between autism and vaccines?
Oh, she's one of those!
Yes, she's one of those. So they'll probably bring her back. They love that shit.
Dear Candice Michelle, if you're ever listening, go fuck yourself and die. Thanks!
Toodles!
I that was really glib and shitty, but, I kind of also don't like living in a world where children are dying of smallpox again.
Yeah. The last wrestler dad we should mention, if he actually is Revy's dad, is Senor Benjamin.
He's agreed. The best of all, yeah.
Love him. All right, so Kath, where were you going? Brand split with the women you're talking about?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that, because having all the women on one show seems like it would be really unwise.
But at the same time, the women would either have to be all on one show, or they'd have to travel to both shows, because there's just not that many of them. It's such a limited roster.
They've got quite a few down in NXT they could start bringing up.
Well, I mean, other than the two obvious ones, who else would they bring up?
Carmella, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yikes.
Okay, obviously Bayley, obviously Asuka, and then I guess Carmella?
Naya?
I think Naya needs a little more time.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly for him.
That is definitely putting it mildly.
Dana Brooke is bad enough. She's the Ryback of the roster, except she probably isn't a union, pal.
No, I would say she's more like the Titus.
So she's good at everything that isn't wrestling.
Yeah.
Because Titus is good at everything that's not actually wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we talked about Wrestling Dad that time about Titus! Father
Mega
of the Year!
Wrestling Dad.
Mega Wrestling Dad of the Year, who got completely shamed by Rusev.
Yeah. On
Hungarian Man of the Year.
On America Day.
On America? Yeah.
On America Day. God
what a
damn.
Fucker.
I can't believe that shit.
So what do you think they'll do with the women, Manfleur?
I think they will split them and create another title. And because that's,
they'll have the women's and the divas.
They'll split them again, yep. They'll put some of the good ones on one brand, some of the good ones on the other brand, so that the good ones are always guaranteed to work with a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it'll go. What I think, just thinking out loud, is they should be multi-brand. You don't have to have them. You don't have to have them travel to each show necessarily. You just have to build feuds and what have you across brand. Use one to build the other. Let them be a special attraction in that way. You can always see some women match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see what they do.
That idea makes sense, so I don't think it's going to happen.
You could even do it in such a way that, you could have the title on one show and then have people competing to be number one contender or something.
Could see that.
It's a way to do it. I mean, I hate the way they do the women's feuds now where it's just one person at a time.
Yeah, well, they got two going now. They do have two feuds going now.
They've got Sasha.
And they've got...
Becky and Natty.
Yeah.
So it's nice to finally see that, because it was just really annoying for a while there.
Yeah, and you have no idea how long this is going to last, but it is good to have two feuds, I guess. And if you have two, you know, if you do split the women, you're guaranteed two feuds.
Wow.
Look at that. I'm all about tokenism.
That's exciting. I love tokenism. That's the only kind of recognition I get.
It's the only kind that makes sense, IMO.
And I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah, I guess we'll see what happens there. And Kath, if you would be so kind.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Lucha Underground? Did you watch?
Yes.
Good, then tell us about it while I go to the bathroom.
Lucha Underground this week was 1 hour of screwing over Son of Havoc.
Great.
That's the whole point.
Now, why do they hate Son of Havoc? Why is he constantly getting screwed over?
Okay, well, the whole thing was they were competing for Dario Cueto's unique opportunity. So, the first match was Cage versus the Mac, and it was really, really good.
Hmm.
Excellent. The second match was, so the Mac won to advance to the next round. And then it was Tejano versus Son of Havoc in a bar fight. They set up a whole bar at ringside and your typical fun bits. And Son of Havoc won. And then Dario comes out of his office for like the third or fourth time.
Oh, Dario.
And he announces that the Mac and Son of Havoc are now having it was a false count anywhere 2. Because the first match was a false count anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a pun there.
Oh, Dario.
Yeah. And again, another very good match, and Son of Havoc won. The next segment was your typical two briefcases. One has money, one has a title shot for Ultima Lucha Tres.
Mm-hmm.
And Son of Havoc decided to take the money.
Hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry. He decided to take the title shot.
Come on, get it straight.
Sorry, I was actually waiting for you to come back because there was a debut here and I'm not familiar with the guy.
Okay, who was it?
So Dario says, oh, you don't want the money? Well, I'm going to give the money to this guy if he can beat you, and you'll lose your title shot.
Hmm.
And it was Famous B came out to introduce his new client, Dr. Wagner Jr.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Ha!
That's what I was waiting for.
For anyone who doesn't know, Dr. Wagner Jr. is a huge fucking legend in Mexico. And kind of a notorious vigilante as far as trying to get as much money as possible and leaving promotions high and dry. So I hope Lucha Underground has a contract that binds.
They probably do.
They better.
Yeah. So this was Havoc's third match of the night.
Oh, damn.
And it was like the first two were false count anywhere. And eventually Dr. Wagner Jr. won. Which completely screwed over Son of Havoc.
I see.
Because Dario Cueto's an asshole.
Dario Cueto, huge fucking asshole. Love
it. It was
guy.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love just how consistent they've been with his character. He's screwed over faces and heels in equal measure. He has his biases. And still, he just wants violence. That's all he wants.
That's all he wants.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah. So, the next 2 weeks are also Ultima Lucha Dos. So, there's Black Lotus versus Azteca Jr. There's the Cuerno versus Muertes. So,
yeah,
Pentagon
versus... Let's not undersell this. This is the final three shows of the year.
Yeah.
This is it for season two. There is season three completely filmed.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, I am on those shows.
Oh, cool. What's your ring name?
Hijo del Cummies.
Oh, that's
Dr. Cummies.
You might have heard of Cummies Senior, yeah.
Yeah, that was
Dr. Batamdo.
Everybody was always saying, "Gimme Cummies, Daddy." That's who they were referring to.
Dr. Batamdo.
That's like Dr. Mario, but way shittier.
That's actually my name is Dr. Mario, but way shittier. No idea how they copyrighted that one.
Somebody was sleeping in the patent office that day.
So, yeah.
What else happened?
That was it.
Yeah? No big cliffhanger?
Yeah. Son of Havoc wrestled 3 matches. One. Won the first 2 to get a title shot. Had his bit celebrating in the crowd, and Dario's like, nope! It's great. He's got that Kevin Owens thing where people cheer him when they see him, and then he can immediately get them pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope the guy, if Lucha Underground at some point doesn't pan out, I hope he can continue to do wrestling appearances, because he is really good at it.
He is fantastic!
There is.
Yeah.
Looking for the Dario Cueto Love Festival. That's also the Son of Havoc Love Festival.
Yeah. Yeah, Son of Havoc was great too. I mean, for a dude who wears a mask, like, you could see it on his face that he's like, another match, and then they had the reveal of Dr. Wagner, and he's just like, what? So, very, very good.
Very, very good. Good times online.
Absolutely.
All right. I guess we have just about made it. Well, we've made it through all our topics. Anything else you wanted to go back and touch on before we drove this puppy home?
Somebody threw a pie at Kevin Owens on Raw.
Somebody threw a pie at young Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Shame, shame, shame.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sad about it. There's a beautiful picture from that food fight. Chaos erupting. And Kevin Owens is seated under a table with a bag of chips.
Yep, and then he gets pied. Cream pied, no less.
And his comment of, this would never happen on Canada Day, was wonderful.
Yeah, that was great. Was it Cesaro and Apollo Crews spent the whole fight, just arm wrestling.
Yeah.
All right,
just
so
deadlocked. Big, strong, beefy man!
Let's go ahead and get into it.
Sorry.
Sunsweet, you know what you sound like?
What?
A dilapidated boat!
No! Oh, shit!
Don't remember how to, oh, shit. Jeff Hardy is the worst actor.
Yes. Compared to Matt.
He might be the most wooden actor in wrestling.
Are you kidding me? When he holding the trash can lid and blocking Roman candle flares yelled, "What the hell's wrong with you?" How could you not appreciate that?
I just remember there was this one segment with the Hardys. Like, this was, I don't know why I was thinking about it, but it was Candice Michelle getting a bottle of water, and she drinks some and she dumps it all over, and they cut to the Hardys, and Matt looks like Matt's not a great actor by any means. He was interested in what was going on.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hardy just had this look of, like, complete bafflement. Like, somebody had, like, he was trying to read something very far away. And he just looked confused by all of it.
And why does she understand. Spill her water?
She's wasting my water.
Doesn't
I also
know
sound like Heath Slater.
And also AJ Styles.
We're just disparaging the Southern wrestlers. We love you guys.
We don't. No. No, we don't. We hate you.
I do.
Fucking Hicks. We hate you.
Mandalorian with the racist diatribe.
That's not racist.
The proud race of the South.
Goddamn Northerner. I'm from Southern Ontario, motherfucker.
What is your opinion on the War of Northern Aggression?
We burned down the White House. It was red at the time.
Well, I guess then it was a bunch of ashes. Good job.
It was hilarious because the war was actually over at that point, but there was no way to get orders to the people. So they just went ahead and burned it.
Oops.
Guess we restarted the war.
Good job.
Let's go to war again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... No. No.
Justin Trudeau's too handsome.
Please take us all in. We're very sad. Can we come live there, Canada?
Can we come over to your house and just stay?
Well, what I love is that when he first took office, the Prime Minister's residence is 24 Sussex. And they lived there when he was a kid, and it was in need of massive repairs then.
Mm.
And, like, leaky ceiling and just terrible. Asbestos.
What?
Yeah, like, it's like a historical building, so... And he's like, I don't want my family to live here. We're going to go to the, basically, a visitor house for diplomats who are down.
Ah.
So he's actually getting the place fixed up.
Good for you, Justin Trudeau. That will be your lasting legacy.
Well, honestly, like, at least now it'll have Wi-Fi and ceilings that don't leak.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
That will be good. No shade
More
there.
Befitting the leader of the damn country. Alrighty, so question time.
Question time.
Okay, I will start. The gimmick of this week's episode is that if I get fewer questions than Manflurry, Manflurry has to post a topless photo. I got one question.
Oh, good. Good, I'm showing my tits.
From our good friend, Chewy Bitems.
I got that question too, technically.
Shove it. It's the only one I got. After The Shining Stars recently, what was the worst debut live appearance? Shockmaster, Willow, something else?
The Shining Stars, the vignettes, and the appearance. What were they thinking?
What was...
Like they?
What was it leading up to? It was straight up just like, hey, Puerto Rico's real nice, which
yeah.
I agree, but that's not a wrestling gimmick.
It's just like, it's so good here, and we're like being kind of... stuck up about it.
Like,
we're mildly
kind of.
Supercilious.
I mean, at least with Carlito, you had him being a dick to people.
Oh, also, Carlito's an asshole. That was very clear.
Yeah. But the Shining Stars were just like, hey, we're from Puerto Rico, and it's pretty nice here.
Yeah, it's great here. We love it. It's not as good here.
Was that too high concept of a gimmick for wrestling?
It's a nothing... What is the gimmick?
The inner, like, the conspiracy theory people developed was that, like, it was just a travel brochure for Puerto Rico. Like, it was one of those commercials that they sometimes have in the middle of Raw.
Except for it was with the former WrestleMans. What was their gimmick?
The Matadors.
Matadors. I wanted to say Conquistadors. I knew that was wrong.
That's fine.
So that's it. I mean, that was the most recent one, and Shockmaster is the other obvious gimmick. Disastrous debut.
And would 7 count? Or
oh, God, yes!
Like, was that, like, purposely just aborted on delivery, as it were?
Who knows?
I mean...
Yeah, it's WCW.
I mean, it's they still wanted, you know, they wanted Dustin Rhodes to work out.
Yeah.
You know? And that did not have a chance of happening, whichever way they went with the gimmick.
Very true.
I mean, like, that gimmick, though, like, let's not forget how bad... 7 was literally a child predator gimmick.
He was powder, but like in a bondage suit or something.
Yeah, well, but he was like... The vignette was like he's outside of a child's bedroom.
Oh, he's a spooky vision man that comes to you in the nighttime.
Ah,
in space.
I see.
Yeah.
That's totally not a pedophilia thing.
That
God.
Makes it... Yeah, that makes it better.
Let's
see what else there is. There was, Arachnoman.
Did he have a notable debut, though?
True. I'm trying to think.
Putting my head...
Fandango had a bit of a rough go.
Did he have a bad debut?
They spelled his name wrong in the first, very first gimmick.
Vignette.
Fandango.
Fandango?
Oh, that's right, Fandango.
Like, why they thought that was, I don't know if that was a copyright thing or what, but thankfully...
It's probably just a typo.
Yeah, and they're just like, fuck it, let's air it on national television.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm coming up empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried.
The Shining Stars, though, is pretty remarkably bad. How about this? This one is not going to be as bad, but The debut of the Vaudevillains was idiotic.
Yeah, they were a group that really could have used the vignettes.
Yes.
No, instead they just show up and we trust that you watched NXT, right?
Yeah.
That's one of WWE's worst habits.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they assume everybody follows every bit of social media and every Facebook post and every tweet, and like they assume we're all Rovere.
I love how you pronounce his voice.
Rovere. Oh, sorry.
But anyway.
It's too much dignity.
Yeah, Man Fleury's hungry, so let's get this show on the road.
Okay, so yeah, it's funny because for assuming everybody watches everything, the way they do constant recaps is really ridiculous during Raw or SmackDown.
They seem to be taking everything, but that you have no attention span.
Exactly.
No memory.
Yeah, that's what the WWE thinks of us. Okay. Yes. So Man Fleury's gonna die if he doesn't eat.
Yep. Epitasis, who is cooler, Zema Ion or Willow?
Zema Ion.
Willow.
Although Willow lives in a lake, so perhaps I should change my answer.
Willow lives
in a
fucking
bog. Yeah, he might physically be cooler, you know, like, water gets pretty cold.
That's true. He must have a low body temperature because he lives in a lake.
Yeah.
Lake Lurker so. Willow is much lake better lurk. Than regular Willow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dwarvish asks, how does the 720 Lariat make you feel inside? Now, did you guys see, you saw the Lariat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I am on Twitter currently named after. Zandig doing a 720 Lariat. It makes me feel like wrestling is the best sport ever made.
Yippers.
Oatgan asks, what about your friend Oatgan?
What about him? What about Oatgan?
Let's do a piss cast, Oat. Let's not. I'm too fucking busy.
I would do one with you, Oatgan.
Go do a piss cast with Oatgan, the both of you. And give Oatgan so many kisses.
I'm not funny, though.
Yes, you are.
No.
The reason you're on the show...
You're funnier than a dilapidated bone!
...is you're so funny.
That's so sarcastic.
It is not. Joey McChrist, Brother Fleury, will the final deletion ever be topped?
No.
Only by Matt's next cinematic masterpiece.
Matt Hardy needs to make an actual movie.
Yeah. Give that man some money.
I want WWE Films to be like, fuck TNA, Matt Hardy. We don't want you to wrestle, but we want you to be the exclusive director for WWE Films.
Oh, that would be such an improvement. Oh, gosh.
Hell yeah. The shit they can get done just on their property with drones is...
Oh, my God.
Like, you give them, like, $500,000, they could make you a full-feature movie in, like, a week.
Yeah, maybe it would be really good.
Yep. MK0, do you give Brock the strap if he knocks Hunt out?
No.
Eh.
He doesn't seem to be a full-timer, so...
Yeah, that worked out great when they didn't have the belt for months on end.
I mean, I just say do it because, you know, I enjoy WWE eating shit.
Well, yeah, but...
No.
My boy Dean Ambrose got the title right now, and I am so protective of his little tiny, fragile...
Penis.
Title run!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's like every week he keeps it, I'm like, yay.
They haven't taken it from him like they did to Christian.
Or Kane. Manfred's favorite.
I was going to say, who cares about Kane, but that's like everyone that listens to this.
Everybody loves Kane, ironically, that listens to this. I don't think anybody actually likes him. Ever.
Nate.
That's gotta be double irony.
Kane likes
that's
him.
That's double secret irony.
Double secret irony. Lutang Secret, Henry David the Woke, a.k.a. Other than the Bollywood Boys and Gargano Ciampa, what two Cruiserweight Classic participants would be the best tag team? Ho-Ho Lun for one, and anyone.
Bin Wang. Wang Bin.
Wang what?
I don't know.
Who all's in that? I know there's so many people. I don't care. Ho-Ho Lun.
With the ghost.
Fuck the ghost, Kath. Wagnike 2, what was the worst part of Final Deletion that it ended?
Well said.
Who beats Rusev? This is another one from Henry David the Woke. Who beats Rusev for the U.S. title? Unfortunately, it's probably going to be Darren.
It should be Heath Slater.
Why?
There's no doubt.
Heath needs a little something. He's such a good hard worker. Give him a little reward.
Wagnike 2 has three more questions.
Okay.
Why don't you have a basketball podcast? I want to ask you basketball questions, damn it. I love basketball.
You can
ask them. This is kind of a free-flowing anything-goes podcast, so hit me with them, bud.
Yeah.
And you can ask them to Sun and to Kath as well, for they all love basketball as much as
Go
I do.
Go Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I just always like them because wolves are great.
I like them because they've got like really unique name.
Yeah.
Timber Wolf. Nice. 69.
Nice.
Is the club still a terrible faction name? Yes, it is, and that will never change.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think Oatgan will ever get over the sadness of Thunder? Any thoughts on Thunder, guys?
That's legitimately a shame.
Yeah.
I can't really make fun of that.
No, he was a bad wrestler, but he was a human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his bad wrestling was... it was so amazing. I miss you, big guy.
The Matt Hardy of wrestling? Wait, no.
He could, like, do a badass top rope moonsault, so... Who knows? Gone too soon. Anyway.
Yeah.
SDCNU has the final question.
For you.
Right on.
Oh, you have questions, son?
I got like 12 questions.
Oh, badass. So I don't
right
have
on.
To show my tits. Okay.
So you're going to have to starve, yeah.
All right. So which NBA star would you most want to see as a pro wrestler, and which one do you think is most likely to drink piss?
The answer to both is Shaq.
I think, well, he's not really he's not an NBA star anymore. He's an analyst and a commentator. But the one active today who most likely drinks piss is, it's got to be Rondo. Rajon Rondo, I bet, drinks piss. Who would I like to see as a pro wrestler? Boban.
Boban
Maranjovic, however you say his name. 7'3", ogre-looking motherfucker. Yeah, I would love to see him as a pro wrestler.
Vince Carter could cut some good promos.
Oh, I guess he still is an active wrestler, isn't he, somehow? VC, man. So that's the end of my question. Sunsweet, go ahead and take us home. Give us that good Sunsweet question stuff that we love so much.
Okay, I've got 12 or something questions, too many. Abrasive Obelisk asked me to name all my Twitter screen names. The only one that matters is Queen Rumpus Tungus. Or Cream Rambrose. That was another good one. Nate asking me how I am. I'm good, dude. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jean Dank asks, MFK, Cesaro, Chris Hero, Sarah Del Rey.
Chris Farah from Overwatch.
Yes, I don't really... Are these Battleborn characters? Like, I don't know who they are. I don't know what MFK is. Martin Frederick King? Okay, I don't understand. JBI commentator asked me, yes or no? Yes!
Ah, very good.
Luigi 30 asks, what if my name was Two-Facio?
Then Sunsweet would like you a whole lot more.
Yeah,
your parents would hate you, apparently. That's a terrible name.
Apparently.
Dirk Hendrunks asking me, best wrestling baby?
Maxwell's pretty adorable.
Maxwell's really cute. Owen Steen was adorable, also.
And I believe he won a match.
Yes.
As a baby.
He did. There are no ugly, bad wrestling babies. All the wrestling babies are very good and cute.
What about New Year's baby Big Show?
He's a motherfucker because he didn't show up to my Raw. I just got Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatts.
He did say he was going to be there. He said, I'm going to be there, guys. I'm going to be there in a diaper.
Yeah, and then he didn't show up. I was very upset. I paid $7,000 to get front row seats. Nate... God... Earl Rod Richmond. Nate asked me to recommend some music. Girl Talk.
The Tea Party.
Not political movements.
No. I've already told the story about their website.
Yep.
They're very clear. They're good bands. They're not politicals.
Listen to Miles Davis. No one ever heard of him before, right?
That's
there's that Dave Bowie fella.
Have you heard of this guy Prince?
No.
Nate asking who my favorite comedian is.
Dennis Leary.
Time passed.
That's not Dolph Ziggler.
Time passed as comedy?
Time passed is very funny.
What about Manflurry, the funniest boy on Twitter? And a good boy.
No.
Mass Rafter would like to know, why is the government prosecuting John Jones but not Hillary? Because they're sexist against men. Duh, down with the matriarchy.
That's actually a big problem these days.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
P. Gordon Diddy asking, can I borrow $5?
No.
I saw a $5 bill on the ground while I was driving today, but I couldn't pull over to pick it up because I was with my
How
grandma.
How about it?
About it?
You can, but if I don't get it back in a week, I'm breaking your legs.
That's a lot of effort for $5. My last question, Wagnek2 asking, how would you describe Matt Hardy's hair?
Vegas
dollar store
magician.
Seth Rollins wig.
What's that Johnny Depp movie that's also a play? Sweeney Todd?
Yeah.
It's like if Sweeney Todd if he had like the dollar store wig of Sweeney Todd. That is some fucking dollar store hair regardless.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was bald at first, but no, it was actually just a streak of blonde-ish hair.
Yeah. I think it's like he just stopped
dyeing it, maybe?
Maybe.
He's a young dude, but I mean, stress can make you go gray, so.
He's pretty, for sure.
I don't think it's going to make you go gray in that specific chunk, though, unless you're...
Well, he could have just stopped dying.
Just the part? That one part?
Yeah, could be. Who knows? Yeah. We're speculating about Matt Hardy's hair.
Speculating wildly about one Matt Hardy.
Well, I mean, we have to end the show on the Matt Hardy.
It's a dilapidated boat!
No! Shit!
What's wrong with you?
Thank you, Hardy Boys.
Thank you.
You've
Hardy
given us
Boys.
A great gift.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Senior Benjamin.
Thank you, Remy, for putting up with Matt.
Seriously.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Maxwell. You're a cute baby.
I feel like that's a nice positive note to end the show on.
Yeah, it is. I want to thank both of you for doing the show. Son, we hope you are able to continue doing the show with us. Actually, I won't be available next week, most likely, so it's up to you, Sunsweet. You have to be the one who's driving this ship. Kath, when Kath does shows with other people, she just has them record. So it's literally up to you. If you don't do it, we're fucked. You have to do it. Don't fuck us!
Not even if you paid me.
Fuck, marry, kill. Yourself... Me, Kath. No, I'm... Oh, this is going
to
be too
dark a joke.
You just
told me to kill myself in a way, so there you go.
Too dark. No.
No, go for it, son.
No, don't... What?
All right.
Wow.
Oh, no, I just meant answer the question, not kill yourself.
Too late.
I have that terrifying Donatello toy to live for.
He's not terrifying. He's cute.
He's terrifying.
He's not terrifying. Oh, look at me. I'm Ryder Kath. I only have one face. I'm so fancy. Mono-faced asshole.
Ryder crap.
We were being so fucking positive. Cantankerous bastards.
Well.
I hope a dilapidated boat falls on you both. Same one.
Let's hang out, Manflurry. Let's find that boat on a
pole. Falls out of the cargo bay of an airplane.
No!
Manflurry bounces so hard it finds Sunsweet and hits her too.
That would. It's gonna have to travel across states. That's just not possible.
There's wind gusts. It could be carried by a tornado. Use your imagination. There is no such thing as impossible, only improbable.
But the possibility that we're...
A tornado!
I don't want to imagine the possibility of a boat murdering me and then murdering Sunsweet.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have insulted me, because now that's the image you'll go to sleep with tonight.
Fucked up, but true. Well, everyone, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to our show. Join us next week, or them
next week.
For a dilapidated
boat!
This is the Dilapidated Boat Wrestling Podcast. I am Strenuous Man Flurry, for Ryder Kath, and Sunsweet SA.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
So
only I'm the one who says goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bonjour.
It's buenos like, noches.
It's like aloha. It means both.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I beg to differ.
Scusi, it does not.
Eat your damn food, you crabby bastard.
I will. Bye! What, am I getting the last word here?
Apparently.
Well, goddamn. Nice. Nice!
Down with the matriarchy, right?
Down with the matriarchy. Good night. Bye. See ya.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.